Dr. Paul, welcome to With the Wind, Science Revealed. It's our holiday special. I'm doing something different this year. I'm going to actually interview each team member on our With the Wind team. We're going to talk about what they do and also what they're passionate about, why they're working in this space to help make this show possible. And I just have to thank all of you who support this show. It would not be possible without your support. And so thank you and happy holidays. Dr. Paul, coming to you from the heart. I am just led to talk to you about happiness. Happiness is something that I, as a kid, just had. I just had it in spades. I don't know what it was. I was a happy kid. And I see this today in so many kids I work with, especially the younger they are, the happier they genuinely just seem to be. And I've thought about the fact, what happens to us in this world that beats the happiness out of us? And I think there might be a number of things. But we lose connection with our soul. We lose the nurturing, loving support that we all need, right? Especially kids, but we all need this. People who are just there for us unconditionally. And it's occurred to me, and this is a little off topic for a From the Heart, but when I travel and I'm eating out and I'm not eating healthy, I lose a sense of happiness. It just feels dulled down. So it was just a reminder as we raise our kids, as we raise our families, as we're celebrating life with our loved ones, love on them, share joy and happiness, and let's pay attention to what we're eating. I mean, if we eat healthy, organic, whole foods, lots of colorful fruits and vegetables, it actually affects that sense of joy and happiness. It's our world to fix. It's our world to make a better place and leave for the next generation. Here's to happiness. Welcome, Kathy, to our show, With the Wind. What a privilege to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Paul. Good to be here.
You are one of our key cornerstone volunteers who, without you, I don't think this show would even be on. So I want to thank you for that. And you do so much. I don't think I even know the extent of all you do. So maybe you could share with our audience what your role has been. And then I also want to have your journey in the health freedom movement and just what that's been like for you.
Sure. So my role mostly, it's actually smaller than when I started because we've got a lot of other helpers these days. So my role is mostly to put together the show script, organize all the file folders, make sure we have headshots and bios, and then just put it all together for Peter to do his part and edit, and then get it ready so that the other volunteers that do our copy and graphics have everything they need to be successful in their role. And the last part I do is the quality assurance. After it's all ready, just before we're ready to post it, I do a quick review. And we found that we catch things. So
yes, you do.
It's a really good step to add. I probably catch something about every 4 or 5 shows.
Yeah. Sometimes we've got the wrong name on the wrong person and all sorts of things. Right. Thank you for that. You have been just incredibly organized, which is something that I need someone who's organized helping me with anything I'm doing in my life. Yeah. What brought you into the health freedom movement and what are you doing these days? What are you passionate about?
So having a grandson is what got me to really research vaccines. From there, I just went deeper and deeper, learned more and more. I also was pursuing food and nutrition, regenerative farming, learning all about GMOs, learning about homeopathic medicine. So it was this parallel path of many areas of interest for my health. And the other thing, too, that happened to me, and this was even before I started exploring vaccines, is around the time I turned 40, I was paying attention to everyone that was 10, 15, 20 years older than me and how unhealthy they were. Mm-hmm. And it startled me to want to pay attention. And that path has changed a lot over the last 20 years. I'm 63 now, so it's changed a lot from what I thought was healthy even 20 years ago to what I think is healthy today. But at the same time, I've really pursued that no one's going to take care of me. I'm responsible for my health. I need to make choices. And we have longevity in the family. My mom just turned 90. My great-grandma was 98 when she passed. My grandma was 101. And I want to be old and incapable. So I have really dedicated being healthy, and that includes everything from food to medicine to vaccines.
You're an incredible example for others, folks, if you were paying attention to that. Most of us are born healthy, and we can rest on our laurels and not pay attention to lifestyle factors that really can affect health. And your observation, I hadn't ever heard this story. I don't think you had shared that with me, of waking up around the early 40s and going, look at all my friends who are in their 50s and 60s. They're not doing well. It's so true. Chronic disease is just destroying our nation and our world. So thank you for that reminder. That is fantastic. What's your current passion these days and your hope for the future?
I just recently came back from Savannah and the Children's Health Defense Conference, and being around people that are similar in thinking, not necessarily 100% aligned, but very similar and really are passionate about sovereignty, inspires me to get reconnected. It's easy for me after a while to be like, I'm tired. This has been a long journey. And I got reignited after being at the conference. And one of the things that I'm hoping to influence in Oregon with the rest of our board members is to put together some talking points for fellow Oregonians to talk to our representatives on the three topics of medical autonomy, food sovereignty, and and financial sovereignty. As we are all aware, the financial institutions are trying to roll out CBDCs. So we're all under their
explain thumb. CBDCs. What does that stand for?
Central Banking Digital Currency.
Gotcha.
And it'll be a way for our whoever to make decisions and turn money on and off. Maybe they can decide we've eaten too much meat for the week, or we've driven too far. So it's hard to say how it could be used, but we all need to do our best to keep cash alive and really influence our legislators to understand. And Tennessee is setting a really good example. And Catherine Austin Fitz is in Tennessee and helps out with the Children's Health Defense chapter there. Our friend Bernadette Pager is there. And they have been putting together speaking points and helping their legislators understand that they need financial sovereignty at a state level. And so I'm hoping that we can copy some of the work they've done here in Oregon and, again, put together some speaking points for our other constituents across the state to participate in talking to the legislators. And so we're going to actually do a legislative 101 at the beginning of the session in February. And we're just putting all those plans together. But again, having some speaking points for other Oregonians to feel comfortable talking to their reps and their senators.
Thank you for doing that. I think for many people, I talk for myself. I don't know how to make it work as far as talking with the people at the state house, if you will. I've made a couple appointments. It hasn't gone well, but I haven't been persistent. And what you have is persistence, and you're coming up with a plan. That's beautiful. My last question, and I'm going to have Dee Dee spend a couple minutes with you just talking on personal. What is your hope for the future?
I want a world where our children could have childhoods like we had when we were growing up, where they do not have to worry about substances in their food. They don't have to worry about chronic disease. They can enjoy the air, the water, all of that.
Yep. That's a tall task, but I'm
with
you.
It is very, yes.
I am with you 100%.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for joining me and allowing me to ask some questions. I've watched our interview that we did before together, and I just have mad respect for you as a mom, as a grandma. And what I want to share with everybody out there, which Doc didn't mention when he started the interview with, that we're interviewing, this interview is on our holiday special. And every year, this is something we want to do where we thank our volunteers, we get together, but all of you do so much. You, my friend, do the most. I know you made a comment that you don't do as much as maybe when you started, but you do a lot. And I don't know if you truly understand how much you do for us. And you're always, for everybody watching, Kathy's always, I'm calling her, texting her, asking another opinion and you're always there. And that's something that you didn't mention that I want other people to know. And that's what it takes to make a show like ours work. And the volunteer piece is huge. So that's my thank you to you.
You're welcome.
Now, it's holidays. What is your favorite part of the holiday time?
So I'm not I don't enjoy the holidays the way some people do. But what I love the most about the holidays is the time with family and friends.
Kathy, I'm glad you mentioned that because, in fact, on our From the Soul today, after this little part of the episode, people will hear me talk about that. Not everybody celebrates the same, and we live in a really diverse world. I appreciate what you said. Can I ask a more personal question? If it's okay.
Sure.
Did you celebrate holidays as a child?
Yes.
Okay.
But the reason I pulled away is because I put too many expectations on myself for many years, and it became very stressful. I used to do 10 stockings. I did stocking for everyone because I'm a stocking person. And but they had to be cool stockings. They couldn't be full of just cheap Chinese parts. And so I spent a lot of time and a lot of money. And then you had to do the tree and you had to do this and that. And it all of a sudden, it just became about all these expectations. And I discovered I wasn't enjoying it that much. So I've cut way back on what I do. And yeah. I'm, you know, not feeling guilty about that, but I've cut way back. And I just really want to enjoy the time with family and friends.
I'm so glad I asked that question because I think we forget about that sometimes. My mom did so much. And with me growing up and with Ryder, because we moved around so much, there weren't all those things. There weren't the pressures. And I think people forget about how much pressure and stress. So whether people are celebrating or choosing, which someone else that we interviewed earlier for this special said the same thing, that they step back this time of year and just enjoy the meaning and the holiday celebration and the time, because I think one of the greatest parts is that most people aren't working as much. We have more time off and we get to have that opportunity to be with family. So thank you for sharing that. That's important. So what would you say then? I'm going to use your expert advice. What do you say on little finishing notes? What do you say to the moms out there that feel so pressured, like you just said, that they're doing so much and they feel exhausted? What kind of advice can you give them?
Step back, evaluate what's most important, prioritize. If I could only do one thing this holiday, what would that be? Maybe then if I could do two things, what would that be? And just know what that order is and focus on the top of the list. And if things like Christmas cards, I was a huge Christmas card person for years, stopped doing Christmas cards probably like 10 years ago. That was one of the first things I dropped off my list. But yeah, just slowly drop things off the list.
Yay. I thank you very much because I think that's important. And the other thing that you added is when you make those choices, don't feel guilty.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being a huge part of our show.
You're welcome.
And I wish you and your family happy holidays.
Welcome, Peter, to our show, With the Wind, Science Revealed.
Thanks for having me in front of the camera for a change, a little out of my comfort zone.
Yep. No, folks, you are watching the man that's really making this show happen. You film almost everything we do. You're on the computer doing all the editing, most of the editing, and pulling it all together, interacting with all the other volunteers and really IT and everything. But maybe for our viewers, because I don't even understand the half of what you do, share with them what you do for our show.
Well, I wear many hats, so I don't want to get too technical, but basically I've worked with Dr. Paul, I think going on 9+ years. And it all started with a transition of his practice site from internally to a new website. And I did that for him. And I guess he liked what I did because I've been doing many sites for him ever since. And With the Wind is one of, I guess, the gem in my hat of sites that I work with. I love working on With the Wind as I get a chance to create a post every week from recording the video at the studio, editing the interviews together. And then I take the content and I transcribe it and put it up on our blog for each show. And that includes a separate blog for the podcast. And it also includes show notes, which I also do a lot of research on, where I provide links, or if I'm not provided links, I find them for that. And I work with another editor in getting graphics to the show so I can push it out to CHD TV. I just heard that there's about 1 million viewers who watch CHD TV. So that's amazing. My mind was blown. And so I get to stretch myself in many areas that I learned. I did umbrella education, and I think that an umbrella education is the way to go. And it's why I like the show, because it also is like an umbrella education. And so I just enjoy myself every week putting the show together.
Yeah, and thank you. You've turned what my little piece of it where I'm doing the interviews, you take that and turn it into, it's a blog, it's on the podcast, right? You've got it on as many platforms as possible. And of course, at doctorsinscience.com, it goes through Roku, I believe. Is that right, for the show itself?
I'm not sure. I hand it off to CHD TV, and I think they do have a Roku channel in addition to their website channel. And I think they might have a few other channels that they push it out to. You mentioned podcasts on the site. You click the link there to, if you want to try it, and you can listen to our podcast. And I think I've got 6 or 8 different services that we push the show to. So it's, I try to push it out everywhere to reach as many people as I can, because it's such an important message for people to hear.
That is so good. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all you do. So Peter, because you work with a host of volunteers that everybody's getting to meet during this episode, that as a show, we don't generally ask for donations very often. I guess that's a fault of my own, but we need support. We are self-funded. We don't have any huge donors. We have no big donors, actually. And how would people support our show if they wanted to?
Oh, well, that's easy. You go to doctorsinscience.com, and there's a join link, and also there's a support link. And you just click those links and you'll get to where you could sign up and be a part of our members area and make a donation that way. Also, we have doctorspulsefight.com. And if you go there, there's a button there to click and make donations as well. So if you want to make a different size donation, or once a month, or a one-off, it's easy to do that.
Excellent. So doctorsinscience.com, you've got some options there. I would just say that if you don't need the member benefits, which aren't enormous, we're a small operation. One of the others where you're just supporting us actually works out the best for the show, but we're happy to have new members. It's not something we push. As I said, this is just a show. Our hearts are in getting this information out to all of you. And so wrapping it up for you, Peter, what are your passions in life?
Oh, I'm passionate about videography. And that's where it ties into the show. I'm also very passionate about the environment, and I spend as much time as I can. My off hours are usually spent in my garden, cycling, hiking. I take my dog to 1,000 acres on a regular basis, and I do about 5 miles there around the whole park. So that's a real passion of mine. Gardening is a big passion this year. I had some great successes out of my garden, so it was a good year for me. And I love to share what I grow and make applesauce and different things, and I share with people. So it's a very rewarding in that respect.
Yeah, we missed this year's, but we got to come last year, and what a feast you put on. In closing this little segment, what's your hope for the future?
I hope that we can continue to grow the show as it relates to the show. I think the message, what I like about the show is that it doesn't just say, this is what you should do. It gives you the background, the why, the what, the where. It gives you an insight, especially with Dee Dee's segment, a new segment she does now, personal insight into the presenters that are on. So you get to see their people, and you get to see behind the scenes in their lives and a little glimpse. And so I think that's so important and valuable. And I hope that we can continue on doing that way forever, if we could.
I share that hope with you. And on that note, Dee Dee's going to get a little personal with you.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for being willing to me. I heard that little part you said. Thanks for promoting that part. I really do enjoy that part of it. When I texted you and was talking to you about you coming on, you made a comment that you're not comfortable being in front of the camera. But I think you're doing a great job. One of the questions I want to ask you, and you can edit this out if you don't want personal information on there, but I have gotten to know who you are, and I love you and adore you. Your energy is amazing. Every time that Peter is in our office, in our studio, he just brings this amazing light to the show. And the care from, this is going to sound funny, but the care and the love you put into this show coming from someone like you, meaning you're techie, you don't have that connection to the medical industry. You don't have children that you've had to make choices to vaccinate for. You have a different role in this whole thing that we do in medical freedom. On that note, can you share with us what happened for you with what made you feel so passionate about our show, this work, and what we're doing? How do you relate it to who you are personally?
There are so many levels I could relate it to. I've never been a big proponent of pharmaceuticals in my life. And I've always tried to do either work towards the natural side of things or a combination of the two. And I think that this show is showing that it's possible and that there is a better way than all in on pharmaceuticals or all in on natural. A combination of the two can do wonders. And so that touched me that way. Also, I have personal family members. I have a family member who has cancer or has been diagnosed with cancer. And she didn't like what she was hearing from her doctor. So I was able to say, hey, take a look at our show. And it's the show it just comes the week before of this show, but it was an interview with Dr. Barrick and his new book. And I immediately sent that over to her because it's right there. It's right exactly what she needs to hear. And it can give you a pathway to move forward. So it's the show that touched me in so many ways. I love coming to the studio to shoot because I'm a people person. I get that energy, you know, being in the same room with people. So show's gone from what I say, been authoritative in a way to compassionate. Now that it wasn't compassionate all the time, but the message has become more, compassionate. And with Dr. Paul's from the heart, what you bring from with the soul, we're just expanding. And so it's those good vibes that we're creating and sharing with the world. I love it. That's my passion, I guess I would say.
Thank you. And you brought up a good point. And that's something that when we're in the studio this week with you, when we wrap up this whole holiday special that Dr. Paul and I will talk about, is how the show has changed. And what's been wonderful about you is that you're right. It started off a certain way. And because of where Dr. Paul was at that time, and now with all the people we've met and all the things we've done, and you have moved along with that amazingly. And you have put up with me. We're not going to talk about how I am when you're in the studio. I know I drive you crazy. But I think that's the thing is, thank you for that and being willing to make the changes and help us. You've been hugely supportive with what they do. So my last question is to you. So what do you say to people who are out there that do not have children, who are in the world now, how do they get involved? What can they do to really pay attention? One thing I will bring up is you had to get and got the COVID shot. But then you learned to stand your ground and then you ended up actually getting out of that environment. So what do you say to somebody that's in the same position you were in, knowing what you know now? What do you say to them? What can you leave them with?
I think one of the main things I've learned and I practice myself is to question my doctor. I questioned my doctor. Recently, he came to me and I had an appointment. He said, oh, you need a single shot. Why do I need a single shot? You know, what's behind it? You know, I'm not just going to take this thing. I need some answers here. So I would say challenge your doctor. Challenge what you're hearing. Do the research. There's shows like ours. There's doctors that we interview on our shows that you can get the information from. Don't just get the right or don't just focus in on the left. Try to get both sides and bring them together. And you can get the most of both parts. And I think you'll do right by yourself if you can do that.
Yay. Thank you for that. Thank you for being a part of our show. and you have to stay a part of our show forever. So I hope you plan on living a long time.
We'll grow old together.
Welcome, Erica. It's so great to have you on With the Wind, which of course is our show. You are one of our very important volunteers, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So for our audience sake, can you share with them kind of your journey in the health freedom movement, if you will, and what you have helped us with for the show?
Yeah, I would say the health freedom, my journey through our introduction to this really came through you, to be honest. My best friend was part of your practice. And when I became pregnant with my son, we started talking and she's, you gotta go see Dr. Paul. And she started talking to me about vaccines, and I just never, it wasn't even on my radar. And so I sat down with you and I had been reading your book, and me and my husband sat down with you and you essentially were like, so what's your plan? And I was like, I don't really have a plan, but I just didn't know. And I was originally going to say, I think we're just going to follow your book, because this was a new topic, the concept of medical freedom. I wasn't aware that there was even anything at stake. But the more we talked, I realized, oh, there's actually quite a lot to be concerned about here. And I had come from a family that has a lot of autoimmune disease. There's a lot of health concerns that I was beginning to wake up to. And we joined your practice, and it's been great because you guys gave us that freedom to be exploring and doing our research and our homework and to raise our son in the best way possible. I've been just the kind of mom, and even personally, just trying to always be super conscious about the choices we're making and the food we're eating and the lifestyle choices we're making, and recognizing more and more. I don't know what it is about becoming a mom that wakes you up to how much is really stacked against us, in especially in this country, in terms of trying to raise a healthy family.
Yeah.
Well, I would just say that was my introduction, and through you and then through other resources, really just began to educate myself. And so I would say how I came to help you, what I do for you is not, let's be honest, I don't do a whole lot. I think I just became hyper aware during COVID, what you were going through with the lawsuit and the medical board being what it's been. And I just wanted to help somehow. And I work for a communications agency. And so I just asked, do you need any help? And you're like, yeah. So what I do currently is I don't have a lot of free time. So I just help create some of the written content that people get in their newsletters and see on social media. We schedule the social media posts, it's the least I can be doing to help do a lot, all the things that go into making the show possible. There's a lot of pieces to it. And I know that you're on your own doing it. And so I work for a great agency. I have a good job, but I live and work in a world where this is not what people like. This is going against the grain a little bit. And so it feels good to be able to contribute some of my skill and talent to something that I actually believe in, and promoting something that I want to help. I want your message to get out to the world. And I want to normalize this idea of people doing their own research, making choices that they believe are best, having the freedom to make choices that are best for their family. So anyway.
You are such a blessing, folks. Do you see the kind of people we get stepping up to volunteer? You're helping out in a space that I am completely inadequate at. I don't even know where to begin. Social media and me are like oil and water. So I can't thank you enough. What is your hope for the future?
My hope for the future is that people just start to wake up. And when I say wake up, they start recognizing that what they're being, oftentimes the messages they're receiving, the news they're watching on TV or reading and online, even conversations happening online, that to just question and test everything and recognize that there are powerful forces, big corporations, big industries, big government, and they're all convoluted and they're all, everyone, there's angle and an agenda everywhere. And we just as consumers and everyday people raising our families need just to wake up and recognize that we need to be independent thinkers. We need to question, we need to test, and we need to really learn how to think for ourselves and be willing to take steps to stand for the truth, stand for what's right, regardless of what that may cost. And that's easier said than done. But I think there's small ways we can be doing this every day. And if we're raising our children to do that, to be eyes wide open and to be truly able to critically think for themselves, I think we'll head in a much better, hopefully, good direction in the world. So that's my hope.
That is beautifully put. You are a blessing. And I'm going to have Dee Dee Hoover give you a couple quick questions to wrap it up.
Sure.
Thank you so much for contributing to With the Wind and for everything
for
and for the world.
Thank you for joining us. It's so wonderful having all the volunteers that we do, and especially you. I think it's important to have moms that are partnership with us, because it puts an extra piece to how important a role is in parenting, period. But especially moms, we have a different level of investment. My question has been for all of our wonderful mom volunteers is, this time of year seems to be, for me anyway, when my son was growing up. Now he's 24 and doesn't live at home, so not special. But this time of year was always a really amazing time to be a mom of a young person of any age, especially school age, because all the different programs, all the different things that's going on. So tell us, because I know you're a mom of an 8-year-old.
No, he's 5.
Oh,
yep.
I aged him. Sorry. That's even better.
Even better.
So as a mom of a 5-year-old, what is like the best part of the holidays for you? Talk to us about being a mom of a child. 5 is, I think, an amazing time.
It's
For holidays. So what's it like?
It's interesting because I was literally just talking to my husband about this, that this year, my son seems to have gained this new awareness around the holiday. He's paying attention. He's asking and he's getting excited about things. And I'm actually not, I do love the holidays, but I try to like tone down the crazy consumer Santa Claus stuff. My favorite part of the holiday. We're a faith-based family. And so I try to keep it centered. And my desire is to keep it centered on what really matters, but he hasn't been old enough to really know the difference until now. And so he's just curious and asking questions. And there's just something I'm noticing already of this anticipation, this innocence, right? And I'm like, oh my goodness. It's a reminder to me that I have such an opportunity to shape his little mind, to help answer questions, to help foster his curiosity and influence like how he sees the world. And I was mentioning this earlier, and there's a lot of forces in the world that want to do that job for me. And he's even like mentioning stuff. I was like, we've never talked about that. Where did you learn about that? And so you just have to be on it and so intentional about what's happening in their little brains. And so this age and this time of year, I feel like everything's coming alive and I'm seeing it real time. And so my desire is to just really dial into that and help do my part. I think as parents in this digital age, it's very easy to get distracted and we don't recognize like how our kids are growing and changing every single day, right, and being influenced by things that we're not necessarily involved in. And so it's just my awareness. I have a heightened awareness of how important that is for us as parents to be just super plugged in, paying attention, patiently answering their adorable and sometimes repetitive little questions. Right. I think that's what's just become, that's been at the forefront of my mind lately. Like my son's just his curiosity and excitement and anticipation. And I want to nurture that, foster it, direct it, and definitely not miss it and not be checked out or distracted and let it pass by.
It sounds like you're very much on it as a mom. And Trey, shared too. I I can't imagine having a five-year-old in this day and age. Luckily, like, again, my child's 24, and I remember when he was five and all of the things going on, but our world was very different. So when you talk about how other people have some, not control over your child, but they have influence on your child, talk to some of the other moms that have that going on for that age, some of the things they bring home from school, some of the things other people, their friends, parents, and things are saying. How do you recommend that they support their child, but also not hamper? We don't want to say, oh, that's wrong and that's terrible and whatever, because that's not helpful either. What are your suggestions for those moms dealing with this age? And
I want to first say that I am not the expert and I definitely don't have this figured out yet. Be kind, right? Because we're all a work in progress. But my hope and my desire is to really nurture the relationship with my son, right? And start and make sure that no matter what, he's loved, and he knows that he is loved and is safe at home. But also recognizing that I have a responsibility to set those boundaries, to be like a voice of truth in his life, to help him understand right from wrong. And so to do that in love, but also to guide him, because kids desire, they need and are desperate for boundaries, they're desperate for direction, they need discipline. And so it's all of those things within balance, right? Which we're all still trying to figure out. But I think it's easy to resort to fall into this place of fear and fear-based parenting, right? Where I'm like, the world's out to get him. Lock him down. Lock it down. You can't do that. You can't do that. And especially because part of our job is to prepare them to be able to face adversity, to be able to be out there and not crumble when life gets hard, because we don't know what's in store for them. And my desire, because I have a son, is for him to grow up to be a warrior. Like, I want him to be able to fight and stand for truth and face and do hard things. And so it's this delicate balance of nurturing and loving him, but also like fostering independence and emotional, mental strength that I think is lacking in a lot of our culture. And obviously my husband plays a huge role in this. This isn't just a mom thing, right? So a combination of me and my husband being a team and like really owning our individual roles and presence in his life within balance, but us also just recognizing, hey, we're on the same team here. And how can we like really parent and guide our son to become his own person? So I don't know if that answers the question directly.
It does.
It's what I'm aspiring to. I'm nailing it yet.
And just to wrap it up, because we have to do that, I could talk to you forever about parenting stuff. The holidays was always really a fun time for me as a parent, even though same thing being faith-based. There's still so many things that are out there. And so I encourage you and all these other moms to just, it's almost like sharing and educating in a way that this might be different than what we do, but explaining what other people do. And I think that helps a child really embrace this time of year. So that's my little note. So what special holiday things are you and your family going to be doing?
To be honest, it's going to be pretty simple. Yeah, I'm not big on going crazy, but it's a matter of having my husband's, his mom come over. She's not from here, she's from Mexico. And so really bringing her into our holiday practice, spending time as a family. It's really, I get to take some time off of work. And so instead of going off and visiting family and doing crazy, it's really about spending intentional time together at home and being present.
Oh, I do. And that's what every family needs right now.
And it's hard. Really hard to do. It's really hard to do. And so I don't want to, we're not traveling anywhere. We're just going to be focused on being together and being present and enjoying the moment while we have it.
I love that. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for all you do for our show. And we'll see you soon.
Welcome, Catherine, to our show, With the Wind, Science Revealed. You have been an incredible volunteer for our show, and I want to thank you for that. We couldn't have the show go forward without our volunteers. And you've always been so gracious. Can you share with our audience what it is you do for us?
I guess I'm ready and always available to wear a number of different hats, but it has evolved over the few years that, can you believe it? A few years already.
Amazing. And
so in the beginning, I jumped right on board to handle some of the incoming communications that were coming through the new website, and eventually worked my way into working with the marketing and communications team in terms of when the videos would get produced every week, the communications. There's a beautiful, capable team. And I have been since then a part of always the backup. Worst case scenario, someone isn't able to fulfill their role for whatever reason that week. I'm always available to slide right in doing different things. And then ultimately, since your NDD shift now into this wonderful new Kids First Forever collaboration, I've had an opportunity to be able to work with some of your blog posting, editing as needed. And so just truly grateful for any way that I can participate as things arise, right? This
is an organic. Thank you. Evolving. You know, every organization needs a Catherine.
Somebody
who says, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I'll take care of that. You've always been ready and available and helpful. So thank you for that. I'm wondering, out of honoring you and your life, what's your passion now?
Oh boy. Dr. Paul, I think that over time, it has become crystal clear that my passion is truly, especially in these times and with what we've all encountered these last several years, that's been highlighted. My passion is being a light within the community that I find myself in and finding ways to unify in a time where things are elevated to a degree that we find ourselves in confusion and occasionally polarized, occasionally this divisive sometimes responds to things that we're uncertain of. And so my passion has continued to take the form in the ways that it shows up in my community. So I've been pretty active within my community, as well as I've had some opportunity to collaborate with some pretty high profile people in getting the message out about unification. How do we come together when we have a diverse community, diverse issues that are unique in their importance for different groups of people? How do we all make space at the table for all this conversation? How do we remind ourselves at the end of the day that it's all about love and truth and honoring the unique way we show up at the tables? Boy, Dr. Paul, as you can tell, I'm an open book. And I'm ready to insert myself in these opportunities that show up in my life. So I've had a few different things that I would love to talk about, even as far as being an editor on a major book that's going to be released here March 1st, Laura Eisenhower's first book, and as well as some opportunity to travel and participate in some peace talks.
Been busy.
Are
you able to share the title of the book?
Yes. So Laura Eisenhower, she's been a public speaker. She's the great since 2010. And with that and all the work that she has done, this is her first book of potentially a series. And the series is called Into the Unified Field. This first book is called Awakening the Truth Frequency. And so what does that mean? Laura shares within this book exactly what that means to her through her own life's journey, through what it has been like as a child to be called to a mission quite early, growing up in a presidential bloodline family. What does it look like in a world where maybe not everybody is seeing what you're seeing, noticing what you're noticing, and giving everybody a reminder that the way through some of these chaotic times is truly for us to all tap into our truth frequency by going within, not being afraid to face some of those fears and triggers that might arise as they present in our lives. So this book is phenomenal. that's, again, the first of potentially a series that she's releasing. It will be available. It's available for pre-sale, but March 1st is the...
Fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
So I can tell you and I are going to have to do a whole show of our own. This is very obvious. This is our Christmas special, so we're going to have to wrap it up for each person to have a moment. But yes. In closing, what is your hope for the future?
I have to say my hope and my knowing are actually very much, I find myself to be in a place of complete alignment. And that is ultimately that everybody can self-realize that which they came. We can't underestimate why all of us are here in these times of great potential. So my hope is that all people realize that there is great hope, that as maybe things on the surface present themselves, we can all lean into ourselves and each other and be. My hope is that we all come together in a time where we can reinvent and all the potential is available to us here moving forward to create even greater things together, though, not divided. So my great hope is that the world can just heal its wounds and return to joy, laughter, fun, and community.
That is beautiful. Thank you.
Hi, Catherine. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
I always ask personal questions when interviewing. So I know you and I know your daughter, and especially with holidays coming up.
Yes.
One, I also should be thanking you for all that you've given to us and your time and your dedication and always being willing to be there. And that's truly important. So my question to you is, what is your most favorite part of being a mom? Specifically this time of year, this joyful part and who you are as a person. What's that favorite thing?
My favorite thing, especially in this time of year, my favorite thing is literally to step back and watch my daughter step forward with the twinkle in her eye and the hope that this time of year literally brings just by being. And for some reason, this time of year offers like this amazing feeling of hope and magic in general, a lot that people look forward to. And for me, my favorite part is, of course, the interacting part with her, the having fun, but really it's stepping back and watching her lean into those things that excite her, those things that bring her hope, and actually having more opportunity for her to share back with me what's inspiring her about this season and just the rebuilding of hope within her own eyes. Boy, as a high schooler navigating these times, she's having a phenomenal year, and yet our kids have a lot of challenges that they're navigating as well. So this year brings special magic, and I literally love stepping back and watching her grow into the person she is finding herself to be. And it's like exciting because we don't know. It's always a surprise. Yeah, too much fun.
It's so amazing to hear you say that because I know you as a mom and you're an incredible mom. And that's the truth, I think. So as a mom, what's the last thing you would say to other moms out there who are going, this is a very stressful time is what you mentioned, but you just said something, you step back. So how does a parent step back during this time and let their child step forward? Can you explain that?
Yeah, I guess to the degree that I understand and have applied it within my own life, I find that in this time, the ability to take an extra pause to notice what's happening, but first to check in within myself. What I do find is often, and I'm getting better and better, sooner and sooner, catching myself where in potentially an unconscious worry or concern that I might be carrying, I'm noticing if I take that extra bit to pause, if I'm feeling the feelings and emotions arising within my own body, really just taking that extra minute to recognize what's with me, what's with her. And then in that minute that I recognize that things are welling up from within me is always been my cue to trust that we all have access to a greater power that really comes from within. and that when I am tempted to rescue or save, or I love that we can have opportunity to share and exchange and maybe reflect, but we have to step back and trust that they have every access to the same greater and higher hand within their life. Call it a divine hand, call it the inner wisdom or the intuition. And I really encourage her, as I do myself, to check in where she is first. What is her intuition telling her? What is her guidance? Because what we've all learned is that no one should have a greater authority than our own voice, but you have to hear your own voice first. So stepping back and getting quiet allows your child the time to hear their voice, and also to build an expectation and normalize that they can expect others to also give them that same space and respect.
And Dr. Paul was all right too. We have to do a separate show with you at some point, because all of that wisdom is so important and you have so much to offer and give. And I would love to interview Ava at some point too, because being a child of such a spectacular mom probably offers a lot of input also. So happy holidays to you. And thanks, Catherine, for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Happy holidays.
It's me, Dee Dee, coming to you from my soul. Today's really important to me because we got to meet and to share our volunteers were for With the Wind. This last year, we've made some big changes in the show, including adding From the Soul. The holiday time can be very tricky. I think it's important for us to remember that there's a lot of diversity in our world. There's a lot of different religions that celebrate a lot of different times at this time of year. And it's also a very intense, chaotic, and stressful time for a lot of people. Not everybody has the means to celebrate the same. Not everybody has family that they get to spend time with. So in my soul, it's always important to me to step back and think about what somebody else might be going through. So when you're out there this year in this holiday rush or at your celebrations, take time to look around and watch other people. Maybe not everybody is doing well. If we can step back and watch and appreciate this time of year and what we have, and be able to recognize if somebody else doesn't have what you have, make sure we reach out and connect with those people and try and make somebody else's holiday just a little bit brighter. Thanks for watching.
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!
I look forward to running together with the wind at our backs, revealing the science that gives clarity in our world that's full of propaganda and misinformation. Visit our website, doctorsinscience.com. Sign up. Donate if you can. Your support makes a difference. And let's make this the weekly show the world has been waiting for. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Paul.